Joining me now is Dan Tehan, the Shadow Minister for Energy and Emissions Reduction. Dan Tehan, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Morning, Sally. Wonderful to be with you again.
You've said that this policy change is to prioritise the delivery of affordable energy to Australians. How will you deliver cheaper power?
Well, we'll get more supply into the system and we'll get more supply into the system quicker. And we will prioritise all technologies, all types of supply of getting that into the system. And as you know, the basics of economics is that if you can get more supply, that will put downward pressure on prices. So that's what we are going to do. So we'll have a technology neutral, affordable energy scheme, and then we will create a long-term reliability mechanism. And we are very, very confident that by bringing all of Australia's natural resources to this equation, that we will be able to put downward pressure on energy.
Earlier this morning, I was speaking with the CEO of the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis, and she was saying that really the drivers for some of the increases in prices have been with coal and gas, and particularly selling gas overseas, and that renewables remain the most affordable. What's your evidence that renewables are making the process more expensive for consumers?
Because people are seeing it every single day in their electricity bills. Now, as you know, Chris Bowen and Anthony Albanese promised the Australian people on over 90 occasions that electricity bills by the end of this year would be down by $275. They've gone up by 39% instead. Now, what we want to make sure is that we are bringing all resources to putting downward pressure. And everyone that I've spoken to right across Australia, right across industry, says that one of the first things that needs to be prioritised is getting more gas into the system. Now, that's why we've said we would support. Well, we've said that we would support a reservation scheme on the East Coast. We have said that we would make sure that there are annual releases of gas acreage so that people can get on, or so companies can get on and start exploring. Everything we will do will be about making sure we're stepping on the gas and making sure that we can bring that into the system, because everyone says not only will it reduce or put downward pressure on prices, but obviously as well, if you can make sure that you're doing that in a coherent way with wind and solar, you are going to make sure that you're absolutely maximising the benefit of your grid.
We know that the remaining coal-powered power stations are ageing, and to extend their life is a significant expense. How are you going to build or extend these power stations in time before the old ones retire?
Well, this is already happening. And, of course, this is one of the inconvenient truths that Chris Bowen will never talk about. But we've seen already the Victorian State Labor government seek to extend coal-fired generation in Victoria. We've seen the New South Wales Labor government do it as well. And they're in further discussions with Eraring in New South Wales to see how they can extend that. And also in Queensland, we saw their roadmap, their technology roadmap that they released recently, which is all about making sure one component of that their existing coal assets can last as long as they possibly can, because they know, the Victorian State Labor Government, the New South Wales State Labor Government, the Queensland LNP, and with gas, the South Australian Labor Party, that they have to extend this baseload power to make sure
you... So who pays for that from your federal perspective?
Well, the state governments are paying for that. But what we have said is that we will have a technology-neutral, affordable energy scheme so that there will be existing generation will be supported with modest and targeted underwriting, like what is occurring, but only occurring for wind and solar under the Labor Party. I mean, Chris Bowen,
up until recent days, hasn't wanted to even mention the word gas. With the coal-powered power stations, who will pay for those to extend? Will you force business to pay for that, or will it be taxpayers funding those extensions from your federal perspective?
Obviously, what is occurring now is it's business and state government, state Labor governments in Victoria and New South Wales. And when it comes to gas, obviously the South Australian Labor government. And what we have said is we would support existing generation with modest targeted underwriting, like what is occurring with wind and solar at the moment, but only that because Chris Bowen doesn't even want to mention the word gas.
Has the Liberal Party killed the sort of certainty the business community says it needs to invest in energy projects?
No. What we've done is been very clear and say we're going back to an approach where the market will determine the types of technologies and the pathways. And that is the traditional Liberal approach to addressing these types of issues. And that's how business gets certainty, because it enables the market to dictate. What we're seeing at the moment is heavy-handed government intervention, especially when it comes to the Labor Party's renewable energy target, which is 82% by 2030, which everyone says is unachievable and is placing increasing pressure on our electricity grid.
You've said that the Liberal Party will look to expand the government's capacity investment scheme, which is currently focused on supporting renewable energy projects to other forms of power, including coal. Can you explain how the extension of support is consistent with the traditional Liberal pursuit of limited government intervention in Australia?
Well, what we have said is that we would use modest target underwriting, because what we have to make sure is that following what is occurring under Labor, where we're just seeing that underwriting occurring with wind and solar, we've got to get balance back into our grid. We've got to make sure that we get that much needed baseload power in there, because that is how ultimately we can put downward pressure on prices and make sure we stabilise our grid. Otherwise,
will taxpayers be funding cheaper power prices for the very same people?
No, what we are saying is that there would be modest target underwriting to keep prices down. Now, that is what's happening through the existing capacity investment scheme now, but it's only being directed to wind and solar. We want a balance to that. And then that approach under Labor isn't working, because it's only directed that underwriting at wind and solar. There's no transparency around it. We don't know how much the taxpayer is on the hook for what they're doing. There is complete secrecy around it, like there is complete secrecy around the modelling that the government is saying is going to lead to so-called cheaper energy, when everyone's reality is completely the opposite, including manufacturing and industry at the moment, which sadly are closing as a result of the government's policies.
Will you be releasing the modelling on which the Liberal Party's policy decisions have been made?
Well, our first priority is to try and get the government to be transparent when it comes to their modelling. They're the government. They were the ones who made the promise that they would reduce.
You're the alternative government. Will you release yours? You can't force the government, but you can decide on yours?
Well, in good time, we will release the full suite of our policies, and we will also indicate what that will do to put downward pressure on energy prices. And also, and we are very serious about this, what we will be able to do when it comes to emissions reduction, because we understand that we have to play our fair share when it comes to action on climate change as well. So our policy suite will be there for everyone to see in the lead up to the next election.
To clarify, with the modelling, with your modelling or without the modelling?
Well, we'll wait and see. I mean, what we will do from opposition is make sure that our suite of policies is offered. You've got to remember that the government said that they had the most comprehensive modelling that has ever been done in opposition when it came to their plan, and that was going to lead to a $275 reduction in your power bill by end of this year. How did that work out? And you've got to remember, they set their climate targets based on that modelling. And now what we're seeing is experts out coming and saying, emissions are flatlining and they've got no hope of meeting their interim targets that they said they would under Paris. So I want to make sure that whatever we do, we're being very clear and upfront with the Australian people, not as deceitful as this Albanese Labor government.
So you will release your modelling?
Well, what I'm saying is we will release our suite of policies and that will be done. It will be plenty of time for the Australian people to be able to look at those suite of policies and to be able to address them.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. So my guest is the Shadow Minister for Energy and Emissions Reduction, Dan Tehan. Yesterday, Independent Monique Ryan said that the coalition holds 9 of 88 urban seats, and in urban seats, climate change is recognised. How are you going to win back some of those city seats without a commitment to net zero?
Well, because we're recognising that climate change is real, that we have to do our fair share, but we will do that in a balanced way. And I think people will understand that. They don't want us racing ahead of the rest of the world, costing us manufacturing jobs, costing us industry jobs, and putting unrealistic and unreasonable pressure on households because of their electricity bills. I mean, I've had and visited pensioners in my electorate who their number one concern on a, you know, quarterly basis is how the hell are they going to pay their energy bills. Now, in modern Australia, that sort of pressure shouldn't be placed on pensioners at this time. So we've got to make sure that what we're doing is making energy affordability our number one priority. And that works not only in my electorate, but in all electorates right across Australia, because everyone understands how absolutely fundamental energy is to our nation and also to their household budget.
Dan Tehan, I appreciate your time this morning. I know you're on the move this morning. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.